Hello, this is Pastor Jerry with the message for May 31st entitled Diving in the Deep End. As a child, were you ever sent to your room as punishment? We are now finishing our third month of the coronavirus restrictions, and in some ways, I feel like I've been sent to my room. I feel like I'm being punished with privileges that have been restricted or revoked. But if you step back using some objectivity and look at the whole picture of what's happening, you may view it with a different set of eyes. Without the coronavirus keeping me home, I wouldn't have gotten a garden planted this year. The last year that I planted a garden was 11 years ago. And without the coronavirus keeping me at home, I wouldn't have rebuilt a trailer that needed repairs. Or along with Donna's help, we wouldn't have weeded all of our flower beds or painted the bathroom. The net effect of the coronavirus wasn't necessarily that it kept me at home. Rather, it has kept me off of Route 81 from driving back and forth to Carlisle 3 or more days a week. It's removed much of my busyness also. It's reshaped my crowded schedule, and it's opened up time for me to dig in my Bible and, like tea leaves to steeping in hot water, it gave me additional time to steep my mind in the scriptures, to learn more biblical truths by cross-referencing scriptures and studying the context of scripture, reading verses that come before and after the verses of my devotional lesson. Yep, in a way, God grounded me. But he didn't send me to my room. Rather, he gently led me to his room. Now, I've been accused by my children of being a workaholic. And if I am, God's been reshaping me during this corona timeout. Allow me to read two verses that are not part of today's scripture, but both of these verses come out of the Old Testament. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And from Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. I'm sure you remember the lyrics to the 1965 Rolling Stones hit, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. The chorus all went something like this, I can't get no, I can't get no, I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. My brothers and sisters in Jesus, I need to admit, we are driven. It's hard for us to feel contentment and to sit still, especially if you were raised by parents in South Central Pennsylvania from the Pennsylvania Dutch heritage. We've been conditioned to never be satisfied. To follow that Lowe's TV slogan, never stop improving. But what Lowe's has really been teaching us is never be satisfied. Even if your kitchen cupboards are perfectly usable, like the shows on HGTV, tear them out. Don't even think about reusing them in your basement or in your garage. Instead, smash them to smithereens with your sledgehammers and haul them away to the garbage dump. And then install new cabinets. And then 10 years later, repeat. Do it again and again. We have this internal trait, would you believe, actually planted by our Heavenly Father. Yes, by our God, we have this internal trait to want to keep on the move, to want something better, not be satisfied with the status quo, to keep traveling to see what we've not seen yet, or to keep remodeling, or to keep improving. And that's where today's scripture arrives. I would encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. I'll be reading this out of the New King James Version. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And the last verse, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Back in the mid-1970s, when a close friend and I started to farm, and we signed a 172-acre land lease, I wanted to learn how best to take care of our John Deere diesel tractor. And I even had a diesel station wagon at the time. So I enrolled in an evening course in Franklin County Votech School called Diesel Mechanics. I'll never forget that first class. Sitting in a group of about 20 men, the instructor started using vocabulary that sounded like Greek to me. I understood virtually nothing of what he was trying to communicate. So during class break that evening, being completely embarrassed, I meekly edged my way to the teacher and quietly told him of my problem. He smiled understandingly and he replied, well, Jerry, this is Diesel Mechanics 3. It sounds like you need to start with Diesel Mechanics 1. I must admit there have been times in my life when I should have been allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the deep things of God, as the Apostle Paul just said in today's scripture, that the things of God are revealed when reading and studying the Word, growing in the Word. But I kept enrolling somehow in the make-believe class of spiritual mechanics, number one. How did I do that, you might ask? I kept my schedule so full. My vocation and my avocations controlled my life. Scripture, prayer, alone time with God, they were on my list, but giving it such a limited time on my schedule, it was like me continuing to enroll in a class like Spiritual Mechanics 1. It never let me step out on a limb here and admit that I've got one more flaw. I thought by being busy in the church, by helping the needy, by teaching, by preaching, by serving as a musician, by volunteering in other areas of ministry, that would make my Lord happy and would continue to grow me in the faith. Let me quote the wise soothsayer in the movie The Last Crusade. I chose poorly. Crowded schedules, I'm convinced, are Satan's delight. And believe it or not, he doesn't even mind when we get so busy working in the church, that we don't have time to mature in our faith and in our relationship with God. No time to dig deeply in the scripture, as today's verses state, to give the Holy Spirit time to share the deep things of God. For us to grow deeply in biblical truths and in relation with our Lord, it just reminds me of scripture verses that follow just after our scripture for today. In the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, and allow me to read here what Paul says to the church there in Corinth. Corinthians chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal and as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." He explains the evidence in verse 3 of that chapter, that the church at Corinth was filled with envy and strife. Verse 3 says, "Envy, strife, and divisions are among you." And he says, "You're behaving like mere men." They hadn't begun to attend Spiritual Mechanics number 2 or 3, where they would learn more of what our God values and to know more of the mind of Christ, which is promised in today's scripture. Paul says, "We have available to us the mind of Christ." Ouch. Paul's stepping on my toes here. It reminds me somewhat of when Mary and Martha invited Jesus into their home, and Martha was so busy trying to get everything ready to be just perfect. And Mary just sat and listened to what Jesus had to say, and Martha complained. Jesus was sharing with Mary and said that Mary chose the wise decision to sit with him and learn from him instead of being a busybody. And here, for all my early adulthood years, I thought my activity quotient in the church work would correlate with pleasing God. It's true that it does please him, but not at the expense of forfeiting a close relationship with him and his Holy Spirit. Remember the trait that we were all born with, that trait of not being satisfied? Well, the deep yearnings that we all have can never be satisfied with temporary satisfaction provided by exciting experiences or places to visit that we've never been before, or things that we can buy, or satisfied by a vocation or advancement in a job, or by power and authority that is given to us, or by merely being busy in responsibilities of the church. That urge to improve, to want something better, to not be satisfied, that human quality that we've gotten when we were created by God, it can only be satisfied by the Holy Spirit revealing the deep things of God. Solomon was right in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes when he said, the eyes of a man are never satisfied. But a Holy Spirit motivated maturing relationship with Jesus Christ and our Father God will reveal that our foolish tendencies that we have don't satisfy that human quality. A growing and a deep relationship with our Lord turns our attention towards what really will fulfill us: his mind, his heart, his wisdom, through his Holy Spirit, is the only source of lasting satisfaction, lasting even through eternity in heaven. If we are willing to take the road less traveled by, our God promises to be faithful, to complete the good work that he began in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we believe that you are the provider of all good and perfect things. We humbly ask that you would forgive our tendency to crowd you out of our schedules. And we humbly ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us as we dig into the depths of your holy word, because we love you, because we want to have a close and personal relationship with you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week, my brothers and sisters.